Father, we thank Thee once again for this privilege of coming to Thee in prayer. We have come now to the last meeting of our conference. We thank Thee for the good things that we have had before us the last few days. Thou hast exceeded our asking, blessed Lord. We thank Thee for all of the good weather that Thou hast given, and the fellowship that we've had with one another. We were hearing at the end of the meeting this afternoon that Jesus is coming. We thank Thee for that blessed day, for the blessed night. There will be no night when He comes for those who are saved. But whenever He comes, may we be ready for Him. Those of us who have been sheltered by the flood, we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We'd be glad to hear the shout that will call us home to be with Himself. We often sing, He and I, in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with Him, His that I am there. O God, as we think of our own blessedness, of the joy that awaits us, we think of the sorrow that awaits the Christ who sent. Through our Father, if He should come tonight to call His church, His bride, home to be with Himself, there might be some left sitting in these seats if He should come before this meeting is closed and be too late forever. We pray that Thou would help our brethren as they would speak Thy word tonight, that they may make the way of salvation clear and plain. Thy Holy Spirit may have His will in the hearts of Thy dear servant and in the hearts of those who listen. O God, may every one of us search our hearts, that we may be sure of where we'll spend eternity. It would be a dreadful thing to leave a meeting like this and to be lost forever. In this last meeting of the conference, O God, we cry to Thee, Thou save some precious soul. May Thy Holy Spirit deal with souls here tonight, that they may see their need of Him who died on Calvary, that they might appreciate Him for the first time in their lives, and thank Thee for sending Thine only begotten Son to save them from sin. Lord, help us come in under this roof tonight, under this tent. Manifest Thyself. We ask You in the name of our blessed Savior.
Verses of another hymn before the first speaker. 41. Blessed Assurance. Of course, this is a hymn that only the Christian can sing truthfully. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Now, if He's not yours, you may make Him yours before the meeting is over by claiming Him as your own Savior. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. And that's what this conference has been, a little foretaste. A little taste of heaven. A foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. So Darcy said, if the loaf is so sweet, or rather, if the crumbs are so sweet, what will the whole loaf be when he got to heaven? Well, I don't know. I feel like the man who said, I can't contain much more. But it will be so wonderful then, and we won't have any imperfect, weak bodies to trouble us at all when we get to glory. That is, those of us who are saved. All right, let's sing 41. What are you going to sing now? Don't let me down.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a voice! This is my story. This is my song. Praise is my Savior over the world. This is my story. This is my song. Praise is my Savior over the world.
Perfect submission.
Perfect submission.
Tonight, but just for the meetings during the week, the Lord willing, on Tuesday night here in our gospel hall, Brother Don Charles and Harold Kessler expect to have a meeting with us, and then on Wednesday night, Brother Charles will be over at Berea and Brother Kessler here. Then on Thursday night, they'll be together again back here. I think that's all of the meetings I need announced for the week. On behalf of the Lyman Assembly, we want to thank all of you people who have come to our conference. It's been our pleasure to have you here, and I hope you've enjoyed being here as much as we have enjoyed having you with us. I trust that God will richly bless you for the effort you put forth to come. Now, our speakers for this evening are Brother Harold Kessler and Brother Oliver Smith. I don't know which one's going first, but I'll tell you in just a moment.
Now you know. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now I'm sure that all who were present this afternoon we'll remember that our brother, Mr. Henry Van Ryn, was reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Now, I want to just refer again to 1 Corinthians 4:13.
Brother Kessler, do you mean 1 Corinthians?
1 Thessalonians. I'm speaking in a tongue. 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Now, don't turn to it, because I think most of you Christians know what it is anyhow. The apostle said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. Now, that's the part we want to emphasize. Others which have no hope. There are people in this meeting tonight that have a hope for eternity. But there are others which have no hope. And we trust that by the time this gospel meeting is over, at least before you close your eyes tonight, that you will be among those who have a hope for eternity. Now we're going to read verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the word hope is a word that is used very commonly among people. It's used in regard to many and varied things. But our brother Ken Baird was speaking the other day about in a reference to this word, and some people, when you ask them if they're saved, they say, well, I hope to be, or I hope so, or some such thing as that. Well, that person evidently has no hope that he can be sure of. And then when we take it in the ordinary affairs of life, some people probably, if you were to have asked them last week or week before, do you expect to go to Lyman for their conference? And they would have said, well, we're hoping to go. But it's quite possible that some of them who were hoping to be here didn't make it. Because hope of that kind is dependent upon circumstances. But the hope that is in the Bible that we're speaking of tonight, and this hope that we have read of, is a hope that is sure. And the word actually means, when used in this way, to anticipate with pleasure and with confidence. And this hope that we can anticipate with pleasure and with confidence is a hope that is revealed in God's holy word. It says, whatsoever things were written. And that includes the Old Testament. In fact, it's a reference to the Old Testament. But of course, we have a greater revelation in the New, but we don't have a surer hope. Because the hope that we have, that is enlarged on in the New Testament, was a hope that was revealed in the Old Testament. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now then, the hope that we have, and the hope that you can have, is a hope that is based not on human speculation, but upon divine revelation. Whatsoever things the Scriptures say, those things were written, and it's God's revealed word. And this hope is revealed in and rests on the word of God, which cannot be broken. Now then, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it is Thessalonians 2, not Corinthians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 5, and verse 8. Chapter 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Now here we have the hope of salvation. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we have hope revealed. And in this verse, it tells us that the hope that is revealed in that verse is the hope of salvation. Now, that's a word that some people don't like. But it's a word that it expresses a truth that everybody needs, unless they are already saved. But sometime in our lives, we were in need of salvation. There are people who are saved and people who are lost, if you want to use two other terms. We mentioned people who have hope and people who don't. Well, people who are saved, people who are not saved. And those are scriptural terms. And every person that is without Christ is lost. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And that word perish is translated lost a number of times in the Gospels. And so those who are lost, but it goes on to say, but unto us which are saved. And so, you're either saved or you're lost. And if you are lost, you can be saved, and you need to be saved, but if you are not saved, the wrath of God is before you, in fact, indeed, abiding on you. Look at the next verse. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, it's either salvation or wrath. One of the two. And those who have the hope of salvation are not appointed unto wrath. And the reason is because they have the hope of salvation. But that God is a God of infinite righteousness and justice. And He must judge sin. And every person who dies in their sins will be judged for their sins and be cast into the lake of fire which burneth forever and forever. That's God's plain word. If you're not saved tonight, you're lost, and the wrath of God is abiding upon you, and the wrath of God will surely fall in that coming day if you go out without Christ. So, salvation, the hope of salvation, or its wrath. God's salvation or God's wrath. Now turn back to Colossians, which is just one book back. Chapter 1 and verse 23. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, we have the few words here, the hope of the gospel. Back in 1 Thessalonians, we have obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hope of salvation. But here, it's the hope of the gospel. Now, if we were to turn to Romans 1:16, we would read where the apostle wrote these words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," that is the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And the word gospel means good news. And so God in His Word has revealed a hope. And the hope is the hope of salvation that is revealed in the gospel. And the gospel is simply this: how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, there are a lot of people who profess today to be a believer in Jesus. I know people who, if you were to say, "Do you believe in Jesus?" they would say yes. But those people that I'm referring to are people who do not believe in the necessity of His death for our sins, nor do they believe in the reality of His bodily resurrection. They deny those things, and yet they say they believe in Jesus. What do you believe? Well, I believe in the ideals and the principles that Jesus preached and taught while He was here. I believe if we were just to live according to the teachings of Jesus, that all will be well. But people who believe in the teachings of Jesus are people who believe
all that he taught. And the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than any other writer in the Bible.
Now, if they believe in the teachings of Jesus, they have to believe in the necessity of his death and the necessity of his resurrection. But you see, they won't go that far. But tonight, God is offering a hope. He's holding out a hope. He has revealed a hope. He has revealed a hope of salvation. And that hope of salvation is the hope of the gospel, because it is in the gospel that we have revealed that which Christ did in order to obtain our salvation, and in his resurrection the proof of the acceptability of that sacrifice. Well, then, if we were to turn again to another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, that verse ends with these words, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, that brings it right down to the person. We have heard of the hope of salvation, the hope of the gospel, and the gospel is the gospel of Christ. And now, Christ is our hope. Just as we were reading or quoting from Luke chapter 2 today, where Simeon said, Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he was speaking of Christ. Now, Christ is our hope. And you turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, and we have a reference to a time when we were without Christ. It says that at that time ye were without Christ. And that's written to us. If you're not saved tonight, it's not at that time you're without Christ, you're still without Christ. And these other things are still true. That at that time you were without Christ, and then it ends with these words, without God in this world. No one can get around Christ to God the Father. To be without Christ is to be without God. And then in between there are three things. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's looking back to a time when Israel as a nation were God's people. And the Gentiles without Christ. Now the same thing is true today. If you're without Christ, you are without God, and you have no link with the people of God. Aliens, you're foreigners to God's people. Then it goes on to say, strangers from the covenants of promise. Have you ever been to a funeral of a person that you know was a blasphemer and an unbeliever? And they died like that. And then hear some preacher get up and preach over that casket such things as, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and go on through it and end up with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You ever hear that? And then also they usually read the 14th of John. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And when the person that he's preaching about has gone to the place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels. But they use scripture that apply only to God's people. Quoting scripture over the body of a person who's died without Christ will never get them into heaven. And will never keep them out of hell. Aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, no link with God's people, and strangers to the covenants of promise, not one promise that God has given to his people can be applied to a person without Christ. It's an important thing. And then you know what the next thing is, don't you? Having no hope. There are five things in that verse, and I tell you they're wonderfully important. Having no hope. So to be without Christ, which is our hope, is to be without hope. Without God in this world, and no hope for eternity. But thank God, it's not so with those who have Christ. Turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. And verse 2. Well, we'll read verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, now this is the verse, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world was. Now we have the word hope linked with eternal life. The hope of eternal life. You know, there's a saying that goes back as far as I can remember, and I'm sure it goes back as far as some of you can remember who are older than I, and it goes something like this. As long as there is life, there is hope. Do you ever hear that? And that's something that people cling to, too. I mean, it's real to people. You can take a person whose body is on the way toward death, afflicted with a disease that there is no known remedy for. And yet, there is an instinctive hope in the heart of loved ones that as long as that person is living, that there is hope. Hope for what? That something may be done, some remedy may be found, some miraculous thing happen even, that person's life will be extended and they may recover from that particular disease to do what? Live a few years longer in this world and then die. But you see, as long as there is life, there is hope. And you look into the face of a person who is dying, and there is hope until they go, and then there's no more hope. Now, of course, the implication is that after death, there's no hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. When death comes, there's no more hope. That's true as far as this life is concerned. But the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What if a person does recover? What if a person does live a few years longer? What if a person lives to a ripe old age? Death will surely come to every person, with the exception of those who belong to Christ at His coming that we heard about this afternoon. You're going to die if you don't know Christ, and you will not know Christ. There is an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Those who know Christ are the exception to that rule. Of course, even if we die, there's no judgment. But I'm speaking about those who are without Christ. It's death and judgment. For the believer, it may be death, but no judgment. And it may be no death. He may come. Our brother Van Ryn said he may come before I step off of this platform. Well, I can say the same thing. There's nothing that we're to look for before the coming of the Lord. He may come any moment. Well, to die without Christ, of course, is to die without hope. But if we, in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But thank God we have hope in eternity in Christ. And this verse tells us, the hope of eternal life. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we hope to obtain it, because the person who has Christ has it. Is passed from death unto life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But I tell you, we're going to enjoy it. The hope of eternal life is the eternal enjoyment of it at the Lord's coming and our entering into the fullness of it. We have it now, and you can have it too. And it's eternal life. And as long as there is hope, whether it be in life or in death, it's assured, if it's the kind of hope we're talking about. Death doesn't void the hope that the believer has. It's not in this life only we have hope. It's a hope of eternity. the hope of eternal life. Now, we want to turn to the book of Hebrews for a moment. And chapter 6. And we want to turn to 1 John. And maybe if you'll just turn to both of these, we won't have to have any delay in between. 1 John chapter 1 John chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 in Hebrews. We're going to read here first. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto us the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Now this is what we want. Confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, that is, his counsel and his oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us, which hope we have, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now keep your place here. Notice again, the immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, now this is another if that doesn't apply implied doubt. It's just like saying, since we receive the witness of men, or in view of the fact that we do receive the witness of men, don't we? Of course we do. Every day we receive the witness of men. Well, it says the witness of God is greater. Now, we have read that God cannot lie. Twice we have read it. God, which cannot lie, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now notice this. We have in verse 9, God is a witness. And in verse 9, we have God's testimony. God, as a witness, has testified. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified. And then we read on down, and this is the record. Now you just think of a courtroom scene for a moment. And you know that the first thing that they do with a witness is to swear him in. He has to give, he's going to give his word. He's going to give his witness. Testimony, I mean. But he has to give an oath that he's going to tell the truth. And after he has taken the oath, he takes the witness stand. He's the witness. And then, as a witness, he gives a testimony. And the testimony that he gives, is recorded by the court reporter. Now here we have that God has confirmed his counsel with his oath. Now he's a witness. God is the witness. And as the witness, he testifies concerning his Son, and he's given us the divine record, and we have it tonight. The record. And those who do not believe the record that God has given in his testimony as a witness concerning his Son is just calling him a liar. I don't believe. Would you think of calling God a liar? Would you say tonight, God, you're a liar. I don't believe what you say. Of course you wouldn't say that. But if you don't believe the record that God has given of his Son, you are making God a liar by your unbelief, whether you say it or not. I tell you, it's a serious thing. And God cannot lie. And so we have his oath and his word. And as a witness, he testified, and tonight we have the record. And what are you going to do with it? Now, back in Hebrews, it says, a strong consolation, might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. Refuge from what? Why didn't we read a while ago about the wrath? And the person who has the hope of salvation is not appointed unto wrath, but people who don't have the hope are. And one in a certain place said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And I tell you, I'm glad that somebody warned me to flee from the wrath to come. And I fled from the wrath to come. I fled for refuge. And thank God, I laid hold of the hope that God set before me. Now, that's the way I got the hope. It wasn't just hearing about it. It was laying hold of it. And you can hear about this hope tonight and go out and and be killed or die and go down to hell and be lost forever. But if you lay hold of the hope by simple faith, what does it mean? Well, we have read this. Christ, which is our hope. Now, what does God want you to do? He wants you to believe the truth that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again, and he wants you to lay hold of Christ as your personal Savior. That's laying hold of the hope that is set before you. May God help you to do just that.
There'll be a G here, I don't know. Belongs to anybody.